Test. All right, all good. Next up on the tee, we've got one of the more decorated mini tour grinders that I've come across. He's paving his path to the PGA Tour. We have Willie Mack III joining the course of life. Willie, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty good. How are you doing?
Very good. Myself as well. Thank you, man, for asking. I appreciate that. So let's get into your name, first of all. I noticed that you're a third right off the bat. So maybe tell me a little bit about Willie Mack, the first or the second. I don't know if they were a part of your journey in finding the game of golf, but kind of what's the background in your story?
Yeah, for sure. My dad actually got me into the game of golf when I was about 6 years old. And at the time, he never even picked up a club, so we both picked them up at the same time, and I just kind of fell in love with the game, and I just stuck with it.
How good did Dad get? You know, when you first started playing versus you, who's winning those early matches?
Early on, it was him. As an adult, you probably pick up some things a little quicker than at the age of six. But I think the first time I beat him, I was about 12, and after that, he had no chance.
When you were 12 and you beat Pops, did he take that gracefully, or was he kind of walking away stomping his feet?
No, I think he took it kind-heartedly. I think he just wanted me to have some confidence and see that I was actually pretty good at the game of golf.
Exactly. That's a big step for kids. I remember that moment when I finally beat Dad as well, too. And you took it from there, played junior golf, and then got to play in college at Bethune-Cookman as well. Now, I know Bethune-Cookman because I bet every single college football game under the sun. Unfortunately, we might not be able to bet Bethune-Cookman games this fall, but tell everyone a little bit about kind of your experience there and what it was like, not only going there as a school, but you raked it up in terms of tournament wins as a collegiate athlete.
Right. I had 11 wins. We were in Division One. It was kind of just a small school, but
yeah.
Coming from Michigan, the weather down here was perfect. I was going to go to Michigan State, but decided just to stay down here after my first year, just because of the weather, and I could practice a little bit more. But yeah, my first 2 years, our team was pretty good. Everybody on the team were either a junior or a senior. So after my second year, everybody left. We had to get some new players, but those first two years were pretty good.
Love that. Awesome. And in terms of where you grew up, you mentioned Michigan, but specifically just outside of Flint, correct?
Well, I grew up in Flint. I transferred schools in the 11th grade to Grand Blanc, and that's where my parents live now. But I grew up in Flint, Michigan.
Tell everyone a little bit about what that was like, because everyone knows Flint, unfortunately, kind of has a little bit of a shadow cast on it from the water crisis, but shed some light on growing up there and how that kind of molded you and made you into the man you are now.
Right. Growing up in Flint is probably 3-4 courses around where I lived. One private course, so I didn't get to play there too often. But there was 3 other public courses that I practiced at a lot. I would go there every day and meet the people that worked there, and they kind of just took me under their wing, let me play for free here and there. So it kind of helped. It helped out a lot with my parents trying to pay for things, and it definitely made me who I am today.
Definitely, and golf is an expensive game. It costs to play often, so being able to have that hookup and get some free rounds and get some free practice time in, definitely valuable growing up, for sure.
Right, right.
So tell me a little bit about the professional career and kind of how you paved that. You know, what did that first look like when you graduated and left Bethune-Cookman? What were kind of your goals at the outset, and where did things take you in the earlier half of your professional career?
The first year I came out, I really didn't have any expectations. I still remember my first pro tournament. It was a Florida pro event. They're like $320. And the first tournament, my dad gave me some money. I made $150. So I lost money.
Yeah.
Second tournament, I made zero money. And then after that, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'm not good enough to do this. And after that second tournament, I kind of got some things rolling. And I actually won the money list on that tour that year. After those first two starts, like I did, then I went to Q school. That was the last year that you could go right to the PGA Tour.
What year was that?
I think it was 2012.
Maybe 12, maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I made it past pre-qualifying. I made it past first stage, and I got second stage at Southern Hills. And I remember going there, and I forgot who it was, but some guy, he just played in the Ryder Cup. So I was seeing people there that I saw on TV, and it was pretty cool to see those people up close. But I had a kind of a bad first day. I shot two or three over, and I kind of rallied back the last 3 days, but I missed it by two. So, I mean, who knows what could have happened. I had a better first day, but since then, it's been ups and downs. I've been playing pretty good lately. Just trying to get those breaks and play at the right time. Play good at the right time.
Absolutely. It's all about timing with those mini tour events. And like you said, you know, you can, you know, shoot a few under par for the week and be losing money when you walk away at some of those tournaments. So the grind is real there. I'm curious for you, what's been kind of the mix? You know, you've been a pro now for the better part of 8 years. What's the mix percentage wise in terms of how much you're driving and how much you're flying? I know you spent some time on PGA Tour Latino America, which I have to imagine is a little bit more flying than driving, but what's the mix like for you these days?
Right now, I'm actually flying because it's a lot cheaper. Flights are super cheap.
That's true, yeah.
Back from Iowa for a tournament, and flights and hotels are cheap. So right now, I'm flying around, but I do both. I drive and fly depending on where I'm going and if I'm with somebody or by myself. So it's kind of an up and down thing, but luckily I'm flying right now.
Good stuff. And to take everyone behind the scenes and your schedule and whatnot, because there's a lot that kind of goes into the tournaments. Are you typically getting there to get yourself at least one practice round before things get going? Or what's usually like your timeline for mini tour event? Are you trying to fly out there a couple days before, a week before? How much time do you usually get to spend at these events?
It just depends on the schedule. A lot of tournaments are back to back to back just because, especially right now, I'm just trying to plan anything I can to make money. So usually one or two days. I don't usually get there more than 2 days before unless it's just a big gap and it makes no sense to come back to Florida. But usually just one or 2 days and I'm pretty good.
Good stuff. Again, we're talking with Willie Mack III. You can find him on Instagram, all that good stuff. He's got great content posting from his travels in the game as well, too. And one thing that I know got a lot of attention a couple years ago was kind of a very harrowing experience that you had in 2018 when you were driving your car. I don't know if it was to or from a tournament or from the golf course, but you were driving on the highway, I read, and all of a sudden your car mysteriously turned off. Kind of tell everyone like what happened from there. And fortunately, I know the clubs were able to get out. So that was the good news, but what went down that day?
Right. I was coming back from West Palm Beach. I was actually going to a tournament. I was staying in Daytona at the time, and I just got a brand new engine into my car because it was a recall actually for the engine. So I was driving back and my car just shut off. And I called the tow truck people to come get it. And on the way that when they were coming, I was probably sitting there for about 35 minutes. And I was on the phone with my dad, actually. And all of a sudden, I hear two cars, like, screeching in front of me, stopping. And they get out of the car. I actually thought they were trying to rob me because they all got out at the same time.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, that could look scary. Yeah.
So I actually got off the phone with my dad, and the guy in front of me told me my car was on fire. And I'm looking at him like, there's no way I've been sitting here. So I got out. My whole front end of my car is going. So I close my door. I go to my trunk and get my golf clubs out, throw them on the side. And I tried to actually open the front door to get some things out, and it wouldn't open. And the guy that stopped me, he was like, just get away from the car, let's go. And I probably got about 10 feet away, and the car actually just blew up. So if it wasn't for them just to stop, I either would have been burned or died. So it worked out in a good way, but it was a scary situation.
Definitely. I'm glad to hear that you obviously made it out unharmed as well, too. Shout out to them for stopping at the right time to let you know what was going on there. And you got the clubs out. And then the one thing I did like to see the after effects is just talk a little bit about the support that you got kind of after that from the golf community. We've seen lots of people, you know, recently. Fortunately, the better side of social media shows that there's lots of people that are willing to help out, you know, pro golfers and help them chase their dreams. But just talk a little bit about the kind of support you received after that incident.
Yeah, for sure. Luckily, one of my friends, Doug Smith, he knows a lot of people at the Golf Channel, so they caught the story. I think golf.com did a story too, and they did a GoFundMe page, and people from everywhere just reached out and gave what they could. So the golf community really looks out for people, especially when in need. So since then, I try to help as much as I can, because I've been in that situation and I know it sucks. So it's a good community to be around, and it's great people.
Appreciate you recounting that for us. Definitely glad you made it out the other end, and good to see you're still playing. Obviously, you're playing a ton, like you mentioned. You've been playing well recently, too. I love your Instagram because you do something that more of the pro golfers should do. I like it when you pose with the big check. It's one of those things it's kind of a lost art in the game. You don't see the pros pose with it anymore, but I love seeing the results. But let's talk a little bit about the APGA where you're playing. Tell everyone, I looked into the background. It's a really great mission of what this tour is doing, but tell everyone a little bit about the APGA and how you're helping them kind of accomplish their mission in golf.
Right. It's a tour trying to get more diversity into the game of golf, at pro level, amateur level. So they're actually partnered up with the PGA Tour and Farmers gives them money, and also the PGA Tour, and they have 7 or 8 events throughout the year all over the country, and it's just a great tour just to get people into the game of golf, which they might not be able to otherwise. So it's a great tour, it's great money, and I actually won the Lexus Cup last year.
Saw that. Congratulations. You had multiple wins last season, correct?
Yeah, I won twice. I won the last one and I think one in Tampa. But yeah, it's a great tour, and I try to squeeze those in between all the tournaments I play in.
Absolutely, and they're playing tour quality venues too. I saw Sugarloaf was on there playing a Deer Run TPC as well too. That's coming up soon, right?
Yeah, I actually leave on Friday for TPC, so I've heard great things about it. That's where they had the John Deere Classic. Too bad they didn't have it this year, but I heard it's in great shape.
Yeah, I bet it is, especially since they didn't have the tournament there this summer. But yeah, check out the APGA. For anyone who hasn't heard it, check out the website, because there's a lot of cool information about their mission and core values and what the schedule is looking like for tournaments this summer as well, too. And then the one other thing I want to bring up, too, because I saw you had a really cool picture with Ricky Fowler and a couple other pros. You had the opportunity to do a clinic courtesy of Farmers, like you mentioned earlier. Tell me a little bit more about your work with Farmers and kind of what you're doing with them currently.
Right. So the APGA Tour actually had a tournament side by side in January with the Farmers Insurance Open.
Okay.
At Torrey Pines. So when they played the South Course on Saturday, we played the North Course, 36 holes on the North Course on Saturday also. And I think Wednesday I did a clinic with Ricky Fowler and Billy Horschel, just teaching kids, trying to get them into the game of golf. And we actually played one hole with them. So that was pretty exciting.
Nice, nice. Well, what's your favorite part about doing things like that when you get to do clinics and kind of give back to the kids in your community?
Yeah, just see them smile. You give them one little tip and they hit it better than they did the first time. They get all excited. So just to see them smile and get all, like I said, excited about hitting the ball straight. That's, I mean, you can't beat that.
Yeah, it's the little things. It kind of gives you a little perspective for yourself being a pro too, just to see that it's right. It's important to have a smile and hit the ball as straight as you can. That'll take you a long way in life. So again, it's at WillieMac3 on Instagram. A few questions I wanted to get to before we wrap. I want to talk about how the game is. You mentioned you've been playing well on the APGA Tour. For anyone who hasn't seen your game in action, tell everyone a little bit about maybe what type of golfer you consider yourself on the course in tournament play, and maybe what's the best club in your bag working this year?
I think I'm more of a, I used to be really aggressive, but I guess the older I get, I still am aggressive, but I just pick my points in the course, I guess, a little bit better than I used to. Before I just hit driver on every hole, go for every par 5 and 2.
Yep, that's me.
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but I think now I strategize a little bit better before events, and I think it works out a lot better now. But like I said, I played in the Iowa Open last week, and I came in 6th, so I've been playing pretty good. I think I'm 7th or 8th on the money list right now for Advocates, but we have 3 more events left, and all I need to do is win one, and that'll shoot me up there. So hopefully I can do that in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully everything worked out pretty good.
Be on your way from there. Yeah, the Advocates is just another tour that you play on as well, too. You're a busy guy. In terms of music, I know you feature a lot on your stories on Instagram. Tell everyone a little bit about maybe some music currently that you're listening to, whether it's new or whether it's a classic, something you like to listen to on your way to the round if you're getting ready for a tournament play as well.
I like Drake. I honestly like everything. I listen to a lot of Eric Thomas. He's a motivational speaker. I probably listen to that the most before it rounds.
Okay, very cool.
I ask my friends what's the new music, so they just send it to me, and then I either like it or don't, but usually hip-hop or rap.
Yeah, and Drake's got those 2 new songs out with DJ Khaled, too. I'm imagining one of those is in your rotation, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Definitely love it. And then the final question I wanted to ask, we ask all our golfers this on the course of life. It's obviously about the 19th hole, because we're not great on holes 1 through 18. You're much better than us. But when it comes to the 19th hole, we definitely excel. So I got to ask you, when you're done with the round, finished for the day practicing, well, what's your go-to like meal and maybe a drink of choice as well at the clubhouse?
I really like bacon cheeseburger. So probably bacon cheeseburger and probably a Coors Light.
Tried and true. Burger and a light beer. Love that. Good stuff. Hey, again, WillieMac3 on Instagram. Thanks again for joining. Looking forward to following more of your play on all the tours you're on, and we'll see you on bigger tours real soon. Sound good?
For sure. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Awesome.